everybody. And welcome to our service this morning. Those of you who don't know me, my name's Leslie, and I'm the wife of the pastor. And he's let me loose this morning, so I can get up to all sorts of mischief. Welcome also to those who are listening to this service on the internet, who will listen to it at some time during the week. Welcome especially as well to our visitors this morning. It's really nice to see you. Those of you who worship with us regularly will know that Stephen has been starting our service each week with looking at the hymns in Revelation. And we've got as far as some of the hymns that have not yet been sung that are still to come. And so with that in mind, I'm going to read from Revelation chapter 19 this morning. Just a few verses that will set us up for worship this morning, hopefully. After this, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for true and just are his judgments." Then a voice came from heaven, from the throne, saying, "Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, both small and great." Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like a roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, "Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory." With those words in our hearts and in our minds, let us move to a time of sung worship. Feel free to either stand or to sit, whichever makes you feel comfortable and in a place where you're ready to worship our God. Andrew. I heard what sounded like a roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. For true and just are his judgments. Then a voice came from heaven, from the throne, saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, both great and small.
I'm going on to praise him, you heavens, and everything else as well, so give this one some way as well.
Provided for us. We thank you, Father, that we can come here to worship this morning in peace. Father, we're conscious that there are so many people of the world today who don't have this privilege. And it is a privilege, Father, to stand before you this morning, to praise you, to worship you. And Father, may we never take that for granted. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder shouting, Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory.
Take those words in, Hallelujah! The Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Through.
words of praise that God's put in your heart this morning.
Yes, Father, we rest assured that whatever's happening around us, you reign. Mm-hmm. Praise you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being here this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you love each one of us and give us the glory, give you the glory. Amen.
Thank you, Father, that you are a faithful Father. Mm-hmm. In whatever situation we may find ourselves in, you are faithful.
Amen. Amen. Despite any appearances to the contrary, Lord, we declare this morning that you are King over all the earth.
Yes.
And we look forward to that day when every knee will bow. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, I thank you that you are the glory and the lifter up of our heads, whatever we are going through. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you that you are worthy to receive honour and glory and praise. We worship you this morning, our wonderful Lord. Amen.
Amen.
All creation acknowledges that you are God and praises your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Father, we thank you that no matter what we are feeling this morning, whether it's great joy or great sorrow, with you in our hearts, Jesus, we know that you'll walk there beside us and that you give us hope for the future. You allow us to lift our heads and to praise you no matter what is in our hearts, Jesus, because you are there. And for that we want to say thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Please take a seat. And I want to pray now for our children before they go out, or our child this morning, or perhaps two of them. Who's going out this morning? Angela and Jean. Father, I pray now that you'll bless our children as they go out with Angela and Jean. Father, we are so grateful for our children. It is a privilege to have them here. And may we be always grateful for our children. Father, I pray now for Angela and Jean that you'll bless them as well as they go out. And that this will be a great time of learning together more about you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Stephen to bring our word for us today. I'm going to pray for him before he does. Those of you who know Stephen know he's not been well this week, so please be kind to him. Let me just pray for you. Father, we ask you now to bless Stephen. Father, this is your word that you've given to him today to bring to your people. Father, we pray that you'll bring out of it what you want to be heard and that we will receive it with open hearts and open minds. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, we always need praying for. You wait till you hear what I've got to say, Leslie. I'll definitely need prayer for when I get home, I think. What are you looking for? Who are you seeking? That's the theme for our service today. What are you looking for? Who are you seeking? I wonder if our answers to those questions have changed over time. I can imagine, well, there was a time when all I was seeking was a drink and a cuddle and a clean nappy. I imagine most of us were in the same place. I can remember when I was a bit older, always being on the lookout for a park to play in. You got really good at spotting swings and slides at a long distance away. That was my interest, you know, if you went to a new place. Are there swings? Are there slides? Or, if we went into town, I was looking for the toy shops. Anybody else like me, when you were young? Looking for the... Yes, there's a few people. There wasn't just the one big out-of-town toy factory or whatever. This was Toys R Us. This was a treat to find a toy shop. We used to go to London as a family once or twice, well, once a year for a couple of years. And we went on the lead up to Christmas. And I remember going to Hamleys and Gammages. Now, for those of you who don't know, Hamleys and Gammages are toys on all floors. They're department stores, but only with toys. And you go in them, and there's huge big train layouts and all the toys that you can imagine. And I could even picture now going into Hamleys and Gammages. A situation rather like it happened, but much more locally, in Poole, where we lived. There was a family friend we always used to go and see every year. And a member of this family owned a toy warehouse in Poole. And just before Christmas, my sister, my brother and I, we were taken into this huge warehouse and we were told you could take whatever toy you want. Now I was like a rabbit caught in the headlights. I mean, it was bigger than this building. And as a kid, it was, you know, felt, what am I going to take? I was so confused, I picked up the first thing I saw at my level, about this height. It was a green plastic trumpet that made a horrible noise. My parents were so pleased I made that choice. When I got my first job, my seeking changed. I was then after records. I used to hunt out particularly Fleetwood Mac. Anybody used to buy Fleetwood Mac records? Oh, there's a few rockers among them. Oh, it was depends on which era it was, whether it was rock or whether it was the blues. But yes, hunting out Fleetwood Mac records. What are you looking for? Later on, my life, my seeking changed. It was no longer what I was looking for, it was who. Who was I seeking? I was looking for girls. I don't think there's any men here who've done this at all, so you can... I would cycle along the route that I knew two girls would take to get to the girls' grammar school. I knew the way they were going. And every morning, I would cycle along that route so I could bump into them, in quotes, and walk with them to their school gate before hurriedly cycling to my school. Theirs was the girls' grammar, mine was the boys' grammar. And woe betide you if you ever tried to make any connections between them. I was also seeking friendship. I was bullied at my secondary school every year until sixth form, and I was desperate to fit in with others and to find a friendship group. Eventually I did, and I had some good times with them, particularly on making pantomimes every year. That was great fun. But particularly when I went to university, I discovered true friends who loved me for who I was. I don't know if you've got friends who love you for who you are. I do hope you have, and I hope that we're some of them, because we need that. Who are you seeking? I became a Christian when I was 16. I didn't know that my soul was seeking God until one of those two girls that I tried to bump into every day gave me a Christian gospel booklet that told me all about Jesus. I heard in it that God made me. God loved me. Through Jesus, I could be forgiven and receive his new life. I found a completely new relationship with God my Creator. I was on my own as a Christian for the most of the time, for 2 years. But when I went to university, I became part of the Christian Union and a lively evangelical church where I discovered much more about Jesus and what it means to be his disciple, someone who follows him, walks with him. Since that time, I've never stopped discovering more about Jesus. What are you looking for? Who are you seeking? Over the years that followed university, I have been seeking many different things. Good work, God's purpose for my life, seeking to know whether Leslie was the one, or whether actually it was her flatmate. I fancied her first, but that's a long story. Leslie knows all about that. The worst times when we both got glandular fever, her flatmate and I, and it's the kissing disease. No, I didn't. Honest. I didn't. Together as man and wife, Leslie and I have been looking for a good home, seeking children, looking for God's provision, his protection, his guidance. We've been seeking his purpose for us and for our lives. This is why we're here. Many of you know the story. We had to leave everything behind and seek the Lord's will, his place. And we are delighted to be here in a place he's prepared for us. What are you looking for? Who are you seeking? God has an answer to those questions, which is no surprise, really. He knows us very well, and so he speaks very clearly to those questions, and we need to listen to him. Josie is going to bring our reading for us.
So we're in Jeremiah chapter 29 and beginning to read at verse 1, and the page is 789. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jehoiakim and the Queen Mother, the court officials, and the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the skilled workers and the craftsmen, had gone into exile from Jerusalem. He entrusted the letter to Elisha, son of Shaphan, and to Jemaira, son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. It said, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed, for Babylon, I will come to you and fill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then the Lord will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile.
Josie, sorry about the difficult words. You said yes to the reading before I gave you which one it was. But God's prophet Jeremiah has sent a letter to the surviving elders, priests, prophets, and all the other people that King Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem into Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar, the head of the Babylonian Empire, the biggest empire the world had seen until that time, they'd conquered Jerusalem and the people of Judah, the southern part of Israel, when it had been divided into two kingdoms. King Nebuchadnezzar took the king, the queen, and the other leaders, together with the skilled workers and craftsmen, back into their country, into exile. Through Jeremiah, God explains that it was God himself who had carried them into exile. Nebuchadnezzar may have been the instrument, but it was God that had done it. This event is rather like we could see unfolding before us. If President Putin of Russia was to capture Kyiv and to take away the Ukrainian president, his wife and family, the religious and political leaders, the scientists, the engineers, the other professionals, and took them away to live in Moscow, in Russia, in exile. That's the sort of scenario we're talking about. Why did this happen? Why did God use an unholy, evil ruler to do his will? It was because of Judah's persistent disobedience and idolatry. Rather than seeking God, they sought and worshipped false gods that were not gods at all. God had sent prophet after prophet to warn them, but they paid no attention. And eventually, God said, right, I'm going to take you away out of your land. And the leaders were taken for. What are you looking for? Who are you seeking? The people this letter was written to were seeking to go back home. That's what they wanted. They wanted to go back to Jerusalem, back to the way it was. But that was no longer an option. Instead, God says they need to seek something else. You need to seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. You mean we've got to seek the peace and prosperity for Babylon, the city, the ruler of which has taken us out of our homeland and made us slaves? That can't be right. They are enemies. Look at what they've done to your holy city, to the temple. But it was right. God himself had carried them out of the promised land for a reason, and they had to accept it. Now, he says, build houses, settle down, plant gardens, and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. They weren't to listen to any false prophets telling them that they would be going back. They weren't to encourage people to have dreams about them going back. They weren't. At least not for now. Despite everything that the people of Judah have done, God still loves them. And he wants them to be happy, to thrive in their new place, until the time that he has chosen for them to return. When will that be? Some of you will have noticed that as you heard that reading. How long is it going to be before they eventually do get back to their homeland? It's when 70 years have been completed for Babylon. I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. Why 70 years? Who was brought up with 80 years? You heard that? The lifespan of a man, 80 years. That was the point. Everybody had to die. Everybody that had been exiled from Jerusalem had to die. The only people that were going to come back would be children and grandchildren born in exile. That's why 70 years had to be completed. This generation had sinned repeatedly. They had suffered the punishment of their sin. And the blessing of restoration would only happen to their descendants. He has plans to prosper them and not to harm them. It is time, in 70 years' time, no longer for captivity, but to set them free. These are wonderful verses. In chapter 29, verse 10 to 14. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good purpose to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. This is as big an event as the Exodus from Egypt in biblical history, in the life of the God's people. This is a huge event in historical terms, in spiritual terms. The people of Judah, the Jews, had sought false gods which led to their exile. When the Jews had learned their lesson, they would be given a fresh start. And it's been announced now in advance. What relevance has this got to us today? Which is always a very good question to ask. This event's happened 2,500 years ago. It's a long time. What are you looking for? Who are you seeking? God himself gives the answers to these questions, and we can learn from them. God says, in 70 years' time, your children and grandchildren, unlike you, will call on me, and I will listen to them. Unlike you, they will seek me and find me when they seek me with all their heart. Unlike you, they will find me, and I will bring them out of captivity, not into it. They will be brought out of all the nations to which I have banished them and back to Jerusalem. This new generation will rediscover the goodness of the Lord, the goodness of his plans, his ways, his character, they will discover, rediscover what it means to be the free people of God. Above all, they will seek him and find him when they seek him with all their heart. God needs to be the answer to those questions. What are you looking for? Who are you seeking? The answers need to be God. We're seeking you, God. What are we seeking? You and your will. So that comes to us. We have the same questions to us, and we have the same choices that those people made all those thousands of years ago. As I was thinking about this, I thought, yeah, what are my choices? I started with toys, games, entertainment. Is that what I'm still looking for? Am I looking for a relationship, friendship, happiness? Are you looking for a secure home? Are you looking for a job that pays the bills or does more than just paying the bills? Are you looking for a sense of purpose, a calling, a vocation from God? Are you seeking a way out of trouble of your own making or someone else's? Are you seeking freedom from the past, the present, or fear of the future? Are you seeking healing, deliverance, or forgiveness? I didn't know I was looking for forgiveness when that girl gave me that booklet. But the Holy Spirit convicted me that I needed forgiveness and a new life. What are we looking for? Are you seeking God? At the beginning of the year, a good friend of ours, Elner Jabiev, who heads up Turkic Belt Ministries, working in places like Azerbaijan, Iran, and Turkey, we met up with him at our house, and he encouraged Leslie and I to write down all the things that we were seeking. Family life, home life, work, church, whatever it is, just write them all down. And then he said, seek the Lord. Later on, he suggests, a year afterwards, look back and see how many of those things the Lord has given you, why you've been seeking him. This followed from the scripture, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Food, drink, clothing, and so on. It was a real challenge from Elner, and one that I was obedient to, going upstairs and writing down in my little book all the things that I was seeking for. And it may be something that I have in mind for us as a church in some way we may do as well. The message is, seek the Lord first. Those things that I listed, relationships, friendships, happiness, work, a sense of calling, jobs, freedom, deliverance, we need all those things. But you're not going to get them unless you first seek the Lord. Judah have been trying to sort out their own problems, ignoring God, trying to form alliances, trying to escape, but it just failed. We need to seek the Lord. God's first priority is for us to seek him. Our first calling is to seek the Lord. And it's not the type of seeking that you do in hide and seek. Has anybody played hide and seek recently? Yes, yes, good, excellent parenting, excellent parenting. Come on, grandparents who've played hide and seek recently. Yes, you see, look, you see, come on. Hide and seek never loses its attraction. But If I said to you, right, seek the Lord, do you think, okay, right, found him, right, that's done, now, you know, that's not the way it works, is it? It's not the way it works. If I said to you, seek happiness, well, maybe some people just go to a particular place and have a drink or take a drug or this, that, and think, oh, that's happiness. No, it's not going to work, is it? Seek happiness, seek blessing, is a continual process. Seeking the Lord is a lifelong exploration into who he is. Those songs we had this morning, the first three songs, they're old songs for some of us. They've been around a lot. But why do we sing them? Because they're still true. Because they still enable us to see God as great and glorious and wonderful. We've got so much more to discover about who God is. We will always be seeking the Lord. Even in heaven, when we see him face to face, we'll be seeking the Lord. Exploring, discovering, gazing about how great God is. We should be seeking him, enjoying his presence, worshipping in spirit and truth. That's what we do on our fourth Wednesdays. We've got one coming up this coming Wednesday. Come if you can. Just time to seek the Lord, enjoy his presence, worship in spirit and truth. It's been a very gentle time the three or four times we've done it. Somebody said to me after the last one, I love Wednesday evenings. It's quenching the soul. It's a highlight of my month is to come on a Wednesday evening and to abide in the presence of the Lord. As we seek him, we have his personal assurance that we will find him in whatever place we find ourselves, in whatever difficulties we face, as long as we seek him with all our heart. This is our scripture for the year. I wasn't at the church meeting on Tuesday, but I'm reliably informed people were happy to go with Jeremiah 29, verse 13, as our scripture for the year. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. This is a word that was given to those people, but I do believe it's true for us too. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And as we do that, that place to live, that healing of a relationship, that forgiveness that we need or we need to give to someone else, that breakthrough that we're looking for, whatever it might be, that will come in God's time. But we first have to start with seeking him with all our heart. I think we've got a whole year to explore what that verse is talking about. Could say much more, I'm not going to say any more now. This is just a starter to whet our appetite. Will you do it? With the help of the Holy Spirit, will you do it? Will you seek him with all your heart? No one else can do it, because it's your heart. No one can tell you how to do it, because it's your heart. No one can put rules and regulations upon you, bind you up with all sorts of religious practices or obligations. None of that at all. How are you going to seek the Lord with all your heart? You know where you connect with God, how you connect with God. Whether it's reading God's word, going out for a walk by the beach, singing songs, playing a CD, whether it's being still or silent, getting together with other people to discover how much is in God's word, It doesn't matter what you do, I just encourage you to do it. Seek the Lord with all your heart. I don't know where this journey is going to take us, but isn't that the fun? Isn't it? Well, yes, I mean, there's only a few people who want fun here. Debbie, I can hear on the back row. She wants fun. No, no, we just rather like to know exactly where we're going, thank you. We want absolute certainty because we're getting old and we're British and we're conservative by nature with a small C. Is that not true? We're not really up for adventures, are we? So may I encourage you to be adventurous. On a Sunday evening, before we had lockdown, we had got up to the Psalms. We'd gone all the way through the Bible, from the very beginning to Psalms, looking at worship, at how the people of God, or people who wanted to connect with God, worshipped. And I said each week, I've no idea what's coming next. I can't wait to get to go down the pub, which I do on a Tuesday, go down the pub and look at God's word and say, what happens next? I had no idea where it was going to go. And I think the same for us now. We have different preachers each week and so on. And I don't know what our theme will be. Maybe it will just be seeking the Lord with all your heart. Just choose somebody from the scriptures. I don't know what we're going to do. I'm looking forward to praying about that, thinking about that. But let's go on an adventure together for this year of seeking the Lord. Have I got a few nods?
Yes.
Oh, good. Right, well, can you minute that, Mark? We've got church secretary here. That is minuted. They're ready to go on the adventure, which is great. The great thing is, wherever we end up, it'll be good. Because we're seeking the Lord, and God is good. Is that not right? Those who've been Christians a very long time, look at you around, those who've been Christians a very long time, say, who's very proud of that, been Christians for a very long time, is God good?
Yes.
Is God good all the time?
Yes.
Excellent. For those on the tape, there was a lot of grey-haired and some not-so-grey-haired people saying that. And, that is our testimony, those of us who've got grey hair, and maybe some of us haven't got any hair at all. That is our testimony. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. So if we're seeking Him and going with Him this year, it will be good. Doesn't mean it will be easy. Does not mean it will not be painful and sad. Leslie's going to be leading us in prayer in a bit, and then there's really difficult situations going on. But if we seek the Lord, His peace will guard our hearts and minds. Psalm 27, verse 8 says this: My heart says of you, seek His face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Let's pray. Lord, you know us. You know us well. And we're seeking all sorts of different things. We're looking for all sorts of different things. Today, tomorrow, the year ahead. But help us, Lord, to start with you. Thank you for your assurance that we will find you when we seek you with all our heart, and that you will bring us out of captivity, whatever that means, you will bring us out of it and into the place that you have prepared. Lord, we ask you now to bring us out of the captivity of sin, of unforgiveness, bearing a grudge. Lord, we just pray you'd forgive us and we let it go. Lord, we pray that you bring us out of captivity of regrets. I wish I'd done something different. Lord, the past is the past, and we pray that you'd forgive us, but also help us to forgive ourselves and bring us out of the captivity of regret. And Lord, I pray you bring us out of the captivity of fear of about today. Don't know what I'm going to do. Don't know how I'm going to manage. Bring us out of that captivity, Lord, into trust. And Lord, I pray you'd also bring us out of the captivity of fear of the future. Lord, you've said in your word, if God is for us, who can be against us? May these words reassure us that we do not need to be afraid of the future. So, Lord, bring us out of captivity as we seek you and find you. Amen.
Amen.
We've got a response song now. One thing I ask. And later on in that song it says, the one thing I ask is to see you. And we're very fortunate. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to see Jesus. If we seek him now, we will find him. And we will see him. So, Andrew, let's go into that song, please. One thing I ask is to see you.
Thank you.
as we seek Jesus, we will find him if we look. And there's so much going on in the world at the moment that we need to seek and see Jesus, because we need to have somebody that we can pray to that can give us hope. I'd like us to have a time of intercession now before we come to our closing hymn. And I'd like us to focus on two things in our time of intercession. One is the prayer for Ukraine and for the horrific things that we're seeing on our televisions at the moment. And secondly, I'd like to focus on, much nearer to home, all the people in our fellowship at the moment who are sick and who desperately need help from Jesus. I'm not going to start naming names because I'll miss somebody, and I don't want to miss anybody, but I'm sure we all know people and have got people on our hearts in this fellowship who are not well today. And us, some will be seeking Jesus. Some are not in a place at this today where they can seek Jesus. And so it's up to us to seek Jesus for them. And so I'm going to open the floor. This is open prayer. Please pray for whoever's in your heart, either out loud or in your hearts, because Jesus hears you. Let's pray.
We ask you to give us support. All the needs that have happened, to remember that you could always give.
We pray for Ukraine, which are so distressed to see what's going on in that country. All the people, all the children, particularly the children. We just pray, Lord, that you will bring an end to that situation, that you will either get rid of Putin or in some ways do something other than that, Lord. But we plead to you today to bring that fighting to an end. Amen.
Amen.
Soften the hearts of the men of war and bring your peace, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Father, just pray for those people, refugees, Lord, and for this country, that you respond to people opening their homes. Father, we pray for all those who have been displaced during this conflict, for all those wives and children who've been separated from their husbands, for elderly people who've had to travel miles and miles and miles to get away from the fighting. We pray for those who are still trapped underground and whose rescue is made doubly difficult because the fighting is still going on. We pray for those who are on the front line trying to protect their country. And Lord, I dare say that there are thousands of young men from Russia in that conflict who don't want to be there. So many things we could pray about, Lord. We just want you to bring peace and reconciliation. Bring families back together and reunite people, Lord. You have the power to do all these things, Lord. We are helpless. All we can do is pray. So we do that. And just leave this in your hands, Lord. Your powerful hands.
Lord, we would pray for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit in Eastern Europe, Lord. We would pray, Lord, that peace may break out. We pray, Lord, the oppression and fear also, Lord. Yeah. They are an equally oppressed people in many ways. So, Lord, we pray for the common man, woman, and child, that they may see your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Lord, I just thank you for the fellowship that I had yesterday with other leaders from Girls Brigade from around the southwest area. Lord, I just thank you for the fact that we could be together again. But I also pray for Julia, Marilyn, Carol and Sue, who were all suffering with problems with their backs or legs or whatever. Lord, just put your healing hand upon them so that they can continue the work that you've given them within Girls Brigade. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we remember all that are sick at the moment. Especially I would pray, Father, for you and that man, Sylvia and Taya and Paul. Father, I pray that we would meet them at their deepest point of pain at this time, Lord. And we pray that you would pour your healing power upon you now. We thank you for all that she's done for us. We pray, Lord, for her and her family. We pray that you would strengthen and encourage them at this time. In Jesus' precious name.
And Lord, we pray for Peter Beauty. We pray for your peace and your power. And we pray you'll be very close to him, Lord, in hospital. And we pray that you'll show a way forward and you'll grant peace and blessing to the whole family. And all those, Lord, who are in hospital, those in care homes. And many people in our fellowship are suffering in many ways. We pray for those who have COVID and similar illnesses. Oh, Father God, we pray you'll send your healing power and grant your peace and strength. In Jesus' name, amen.
Prayer. And you've heard these prayers this morning, whether they were spoken out or whether they were spoken in our hearts. Jesus, you've heard every one of them. And we just ask you to bring a special blessing to all those people that we prayed for today. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to go into our closing song now, In Christ Alone. And the words of this song, they give us hope, they're uplifting, but also I think they reflect many things that we've been talking about today. There is only Jesus that we can hope in. Thank you, Andrew.
Oh,
Before we go into the blessing, I'd just like to invite you to stay and have tea and coffee with us this morning, which is just straight across the hallway there. And I've been asked to mention that we now have lactose-free milk and almond milk and all sorts of biscuits that are suitable for all sorts of people. So please don't feel that you're excluded. You are very welcome. And let's say the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen. Amen.